podcast in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Right, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. Their odds against. Love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes, listen on Audio Boom, or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello everyone and welcome back to the Punt Podcast as a new season in the Premier League dawns. It's good to have you with us. Dave Kellner here. I'll shortly be speaking to Derek McGovern, who as usual is on his holidays. He will give us his best bets in the televised games in the Premier League. To come on the podcast as well, we'll hear from Steve Bates, the chief football writer at the Sunday People. We're going to go through the betting for the Premier League title. We'll also talk about the top four surprise packages this season as well. That's all to come. And we'll also hear from Pete Farris, Gav Pushlowski and Al Ross. They will give their best bets in the Championship and Leagues 1 and 2 respectively. And they kicked off last week in sensational form with a winning treble to start the season, those three. So Pete, Gav and Al already in good form. And a man that's always in good form, Derek McGovern, joins me on the podcast to go through the televised games in the Premier League. Good morning to you, Derek.
Morning, Dave. You already piled the pressure on us, don't you? We're talking about a winning treble for the other lads. Oh, dear.
How are you doing? Where are you in the world, Derek?
I'm in France, sitting inside, watching the rain pour down. It's weather is Liverpool-like at the moment, so it's just absolutely awful. I normally go to Italy. I love it there. And I've changed my mind this time because the kids wanted to go elsewhere. And look at it. Look where I am.
we start on the note. The podcast will continue on for the rest of the season there, Derek. Let's get stuck into the Premier League televised games then, Mr. McGovern. We will have Andy Excel back on the podcast. If you're thinking, where's Andy this season? He's also away for the next fortnight. What is it with you people? The football season rolls back around and that's when you decide to go on holiday. We will have Andy Excel back with us on the podcast in a couple of weeks' time. We start the Premier League season with a Friday kickoff, 8 p.m, Manchester United versus Leicester City. Manchester United 1-2 to open up with 3 points. The draw 3-1, Leicester in the betting at 6-1. Lots of hashtag your odds already available on the William Hill website. Some of those that are trending, hashtag your odds, Ander Herrera and Johnny Evans both to be carded, is interesting at 11-1. You've got over 2 goals, over 3 cards, over 10 corners in the match, which is available at 11-2. And we will have enhanced odds on this game as the match rolls round later on as well, Friday 8 p.m. Derek, is there a man in football, in world football, that's better at orchestrating his own downfall than Jose Mourinho? They finished second in the league last season and he's already second favourite in the next manager to go market at 6-1 with William Hill. This summer he's spent his time sullenly suggesting his team aren't good enough, and I reckon that United fans go into this season with the least confidence they've had in a long, long time.
Yeah, he wears the permanent look of a man lugging a double mattress up the stairs while his wife is on the landing, nagging. I mean, this is a man in charge of one of the biggest clubs in the world with, you know, a multi-million pound budget to spend on new players, which he's never tired of spending, by the way. And he walks around, you know, with like a man whose dog's just died. It's ridiculous. And if I was a Man United fan, there's only one thing I'd want from Mourinho, to leave the club, because the football he's served up in a short time there has been disgraceful. You know, you think back to Fergie in charge and the way Man United played then. It's a far cry from that. And, you know, I look at them and I look at the mood that must be surrounding Old Trafford. The mood that must be in the squad working under a sourpuss manager like this. And I think, well, Leicester aren't that bad. I bet here at 6-1. I know they've lost Riyad Mahrez to Manchester City and he's going to be hard to replace, but this guy from Norwich looks a good one, you know, this James Maddison they've signed.
Yeah.
And they've still got Jamie Vardy, they've got Demarai Gray, They're the kind of team, I think, team that's going to be, you know, quick on the break, that will trouble Man United. I know that your odds compilers will probably look at this and so Man United 1-2, first game of the season at Old Trafford, that will tempt a few of the big hitters. I couldn't touch it with a barge pole, I really couldn't, until I see that, you know, United are over the Marino, you know, the Marino misery. Unless they can, you know, I just don't see any joie de vivre at the club. I think Leicester 6-1 are a rattling good bet. I remember like the first game of last season. Was it last season? Was it Leicester and was it Arsenal and Liverpool on the Friday night? What a fantastic game that was! Oh no, it was Leicester and Arsenal last season, wasn't it? This could be another one of them, and I fancy Leicester to win it. 6-1.
He doesn't seem to be able to get the best out of Paul Pogba, Mourinho, and he's definitely alienated the younger players at the club as well. Maybe things are different behind the scenes, but I doubt it. And Fred is the only significant signing this summer as well. There might be a late move for Harry Maguire. We're recording this on Thursday morning, so the transfer window will come to an end later on this evening. And Claude Puel has hinted that neither Harry Maguire or Jamie Vardy will start this game. But as you mentioned, they've signed Maddison, who made a major impact for Norwich last season and was named their player of the year. So there's definite, I think, confidence behind Leicester and there's a malaise with Manchester United at the moment as well. They are unbeaten in their last 7 Premier League games against Leicester City. They've won 4 of those and drawn 3. And as we know with United, Derek, their form at home is pretty solid usually.
Well, yeah, they only lost 2 at home last season. And they only conceded 9 goals in 19 games. So, you know, which is part of the course of the Marino team, I suppose, playing at home. You know, he did the same pretty much with Chelsea as well. But the distress signals are being sent out. I've got a feeling Vardy and Maguire will play, by the way. I know that, you know, I just can't imagine the two players of that. They are the most crucial players for Leicester. First game of the season away at Old Trafford, you're not going to play them. Okay, they've had a World Cup, but professional football is, for goodness sake, they should be ready for the new season. I'd be amazed if they don't play, to be honest. I'm not saying Leicester are going to set, you know, they're not going to do a Leicester of 3 seasons ago. Let's not be silly now. They finished 9th last season, which is probably about right for them. But the United are just there to be taken on at the moment, and 6-1, you've got to have a go at it.
Okay, on to Newcastle versus Spurs. Newcastle 11-4 to win this game. The draw 23-10. Spurs in the betting at 21-20. Enhanced odds: Harry Kane to score 2 or more was 4-1. That's been enhanced to 5-1. And if you think Spurs are going to win both halves, that was 5-1. That's been enhanced to 13-2, which could look attractive. And Derek, Rafa Benitez, he did perform a minor miracle to steer this Newcastle side to 10th place in the Premier League last season. But their business in the transfer market has been pretty much non-existent. And the expectation with Newcastle is that rift between Benitez and Mike Ashley is likely to grow as the season goes on.
Yeah, well, you mentioned their transfer business is non-existent. I mean, out of Tottenham, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so is Tottenham. They've done nothing. I don't know how Newcastle finished 10th last season with that squad. That said, 10th, well, the gap between 10th and 17th wasn't that great. And when you consider that Everton finished 8th, it doesn't say much for the rest of the league anyway, does it? But yeah, it was a great feat by Rafa. You know how highly I rate him. But there's distress signals coming from Newcastle too. You know, all this war behind the scenes between Benitez and the owner, not getting the funds he wants. He's not buying the players he needs. You wonder why Mike Ashley is in charge of a Premier League club. You really do. I don't know what he's getting out of
it. Money, Derek.
Well, yeah, he's getting a lot more. Yeah, clearly he's getting money, but just a little bit more of an outlay, he might get a whole lot more, mightn't he? Mm. He might get a few trophies as well, and he's hated by every Newcastle fan. I mean, I'm hated by every podcast listener. but, you know, and it's not a nice feeling to be in. I fancy Tottenham here. The 21-20 odds against to win at Newcastle. I think they won their first game last season, if memory serves. 2-0, if I'm right. They won more than half their games away from home last season, 10 from 19. I think they'll find Newcastle an easy touch, you know. I talked up Newcastle last season at St James's Park. I thought, well, you know, it's not many teams are going to enjoy going there. They lost seven at home.
Yeah, they did, but they did well in the calendar year 2018. They lost just one of their last eight in the league at home. That was against West Brom, admittedly, back in April. They won five of those and drew two. And that run included, astonishingly, wins over Manchester United, Arsenal and Chelsea, who all obviously finished inside the top six last season. So, I mean, that's another gold star for Rafa Benitez, isn't it, to get results like that against those top teams?
It is, yeah, it is. I mean, but then you look at this, there's one or two teams that I think Southampton at the end of last season got results you wouldn't have expected them to. If it happens like that at the end of the season, funny things happen. I think you've got to judge them more on the full season, and they weren't great. Newcastle, you know, at home, eight games they won at home. It was only one more than Brighton. I like Tottenham here. I think if you look at the outright best odds for the Premier League, by the way, I can't understand why Tottenham have finished above Liverpool. Something like 16 to 1, I think they are. While Liverpool are fours, but we'll talk about that later with Steve Bates. I just think Tottenham are good things here. Odds against to beat Newcastle, why won't they?
Yeah, and you mentioned they've not signed anyone of note, but I think that's almost a positive for Spurs because they've got that continuity in the side and almost a siege mentality that's a positive point for Spurs. They almost maintain their overachieving underdog tag against the Premier League superpowers. That's the way I feel about Spurs.
Well, you know what? It might interest you to know that in the last three seasons, there's only been one club finishing the top three all those three seasons, and that's Tottenham.
Yeah.
Manchester City haven't done it. United haven't done it. Chelsea haven't. Liverpool haven't. Arsenal haven't. But Tottenham have. You know, that says something for them, doesn't it?
Definitely, definitely. And I mentioned that Harry Kane enhancement there a few moments ago as well. One of the best stats in football at the moment. He's never scored a Premier League goal in the month of August. You'll hear that a lot in the lead up to this match. Despite playing 13 games and attempting 44 shots in that spell as well. So Harry Kane to score two or more was 4-1. That's been enhanced to 5-1 if you think he's going to break that particular hoodoo at St James's Park this weekend. Let's move on to Wolves versus Everton then, Mr McGovern. 5:30 kickoff this one on Saturday. Wolves are 13-10 to win this game. The draw 11-5 with Everton in the betting at 11-5 as well. Raul Jimenez to score and Wolves to win was 14-5. That's been enhanced to 100-30. And Everton's new signing, Richarlison, to score anytime was 100-30. That's been enhanced to 4-1. And as always, this is a hashtag your odds match as well. So if you want to tweet your bet to @WilliamHill, the traders will price your bet up if you use the hashtag your odds. And there seems to be a lot of optimism surrounding Wolves this season. They were very good last season in the Championship, Derek. And with their owners, Forsun International, able to wield the checkbook this summer, they are the promoted side of which most is expected, Derek, and it's not been a surprise to see their manager Nuno Santo target Portuguese players in the transfer window. They've brought in Rui Patricio, João Moutinho has arrived as well, and I just mentioned Jimenez there, he's on loan from Benfica. They've got quality in central midfield, Ruben Neves and the very impressive Diego Jota as well. There's a thought, a school of thought, that Wolves might finish top half in the Premier League season, Derek.
Yeah, the odds are going to do so, 6-5, and I think they will. I'm convinced they will, because these are no mugs. This is a good team. They won the Championship by a street last season. This is a good team coming up with a good manager and a few bob behind them, and they're coming into a Premier League table which is, you know, full of flotsam and jetsam in my eyes. I think they're absolutely nailed on to finishing the top half. It could go wrong. An old Portuguese experiment could go wrong, but it served them well last term. And I think you cue a few Portuguese men of war headlines given the respective managers in this game, and also given that Everton performed for much of last season with all the backbone of the jellyfish. They were absolutely useless. I've been speaking down to a few blue noses over the last few weeks, and they're worried, you know, they're worried that they might go down.
Really?
Yeah, you know, this time last season there was talk about them crashing the top four, finishing above Liverpool, and you know, and then all of a sudden about come around November they were worried about going down. They finished eighth, God knows how, but only on 49 points, which is not a great tally for them. I don't think they'll go down, you know, because you look at that squad and there's enough quality there. There should be enough quality there to finish in the top 10. And they've got a manager who looks like he knows his stuff, finally. But I fancy Wolves here. I think Wolves, man for man, are a better team. It's Everton's defence that have given their fans sleepless nights. There's no confidence behind it whatsoever. They seem to be going through the motions in pre-season, some of the players at the back. So this is what I've been told. I didn't see the games myself. This is from Everton fans who've watched them. And you speak to Everton fans and they're worried about this season. And I think Wolves will get off to a flyer. I really fancy Wolves here. 13 to 10, I think you said, Dave.
Yeah.
And that's a great bet.
Yeah, and just a quick word on the signings that Everton have made. Richarlison's obviously come in, but he got worse as the season went on last year. And Lucas Digne is their other major signing, and he should strengthen things for Everton as well. But they're going to be heavily reliant on Cenk Tosun up front, I think, because it's questionable where their goals are going to come from if Tosun doesn't fire for Everton. And it must be remembered as well, Molyneux, Derek, will be bouncing. It's Wolves' first Premier League game since they lost 3-2 against Wigan back in May 2012. That's got to be a factor this weekend, I think.
Oh, it is, yeah. I mean, one of my days on the year, the Midlands beat for the Midlands newspapers a long time ago. I went to Molyneux many times. It was a tremendous atmosphere when things were going well there. And yeah, it will be absolutely fired up. I mean, there's a sentence you use there, Dave, which makes me, you know, underlines why Everton fans are worrying about this season. They're going to rely heavily on Cenk Tosun. Come on, he's not Premier League standard. But Charleston, I loved him in the first half of last season for Watford. I thought he was sensational, and he disappeared without trace once the manager had gone from the club. Now he's reunited with that manager, Marco Silva. We might see the best of him again. I wouldn't write him off. Yeah, I think there's more to come from him. But the supporting cast have all been disappointing since they've moved to Goodison. Talking about the likes of Gylfi Sigurdsson, Theo Walcott was never a player in my eyes anyway. He's done nothing since he got there. I just don't see Everton doing anything this season. I think, like Man United, right now they are a team to be taken on.
Yeah, OK. Let's talk about the other team on Merseyside then. Liverpool, they're in action against West Ham. This is a 1:30 kickoff on Sunday at Anfield. Liverpool are 2-9 to win the game. The draw 5-1 with West Ham in the market at 11-1. There were 12s, actually, West Ham, when I checked earlier, being clipped into 11-1. Mo Salah to score two or more was 12-5. That's been enhanced to 11-4. If you fancy West Ham to spring a surprise, Marco Arnautovic to score and West Ham to win was 18-1. That's been enhanced to 20-1 here with William Hill. Again, hashtag your odds. Lots of different ways to get involved with William Hill on the website and on the app. These are the two teams, Derek, that have spent most in the transfer window. It must be happy times if you're a Liverpool fan. They've appear to have sorted out the goalkeeping issue with the purchase of Alisson for big money from Roma. They've signed Naby Keita, who is undoubtedly top class, and Fabinho's in there to strengthen the midfield as well. They've also kept that front three intact, who performed admirably this season, even though Derek Salah disappointed you with just the 32 goals in the Premier League. And Liverpool have been solidly supported in the outright market, which we'll talk about very shortly. It must be a good time to be a Liverpool fan, Derek. You must be smiling, surely.
I am. I mean, the main thing was getting a new keeper, obviously, after what happened in the Champions League final, and basically what happened the whole of last season. You know, any kind of bid for silverware was undermined by the goalkeepers they had at Anfield, and now they've righted that. And people say, you know, that it's ridiculous money for a goalkeeper. It's not. It isn't. I mean, it's all. Clubs have always got goalkeepers on the cheap. When you look at a team, you're buying somebody. You buy a striker, a top striker is going to get you a load of goals. Yeah, they cost the big money. Second in my eyes should be the keeper who costs the big money. You know, because they'll save you more points a season than anybody else in that squad. But would you like to pay $55 million for a keeper or $50 million for a right back? You know, I know where my money would be on. So yeah, he's done everything right, Klopp, in the transfer market. I still worry a little bit about up front. I mean, replacement should the golden trio stop firing or get injured or whatever. Could have done with another strike. I know he's bought Shaqiri, and remains to be seen how he'll do. I can't quibble about what Klopp has done in the transfer market this season. One thing I do know, though, is that he won't get the same season from Salah again, so you're going to lose an awful lot of goals there. Mark my words, I'll tell you now, I said it enough times last season, he will be the Clive Allen of the year, of the 2000s.
Derek, what's your spread on the amount of goals that Salah gets this season?
Well, he got 32 last season, he ain't going to match that. Let's just say, bookies would probably do a spread of,
23, 24, 27. Possibly something like that.
Yeah, I'd be a seller, a big time seller. Okay. If he gets more than 15, I'll be surprised.
If you look,
I think the reason I'm saying that, I think he will be such a disappointment this season. I don't think he'll be coming around about Christmas. I don't think he'll be a regular starter. There you go.
Right. Okay. Well. Wow. That is a bold statement, Derek, to kickstart this podcast this season. If you're looking at those goalscorer markets, by the way, well worth noting Sadio Mane. He's 13-10 to score in this game. He's got a decent record against West Ham, and he scored in Liverpool's last two opening Premier League fixtures as well, Sadio Mane. So 13-10 might not be bad. By the way, Salah scored three in his two starts against West Ham last season as well. And Liverpool's...
Oh, yeah,
go on, Derek.
Sorry, Dave. You mentioned that. I think it was 4-1 both times last season, wasn't it? The home and away. I was at the Anfield game. And West Ham gave Liverpool a lot of problems, you know. Mm. And I remember what my main memory of that game was Arnautovic absolutely ran Liverpool ragged for a large part of that
game. That's
interesting. Sensational. Yeah, and I noticed your enhanced odds there for Arnautovic. Was it 20-1 for him West Ham to win?
That's it.
Yeah, I wouldn't put anybody off that, you know. I wouldn't put anybody off West Ham at 11-1 because they've made some good signings. You say Liverpool have been great in the transfer market. So have West Ham. They've got a proper manager now as well.
Jack Wilshere, Derek, as well.
Well, yeah.
Came on a free, admittedly.
Just below Salah, but you never, you know, I might be wrong on these people because, you know, I'm not wrong. But West Ham are too big at 11-1 to beat Liverpool side, who, okay, they've done well pre-season, but they've largely played without their big players in pre-season. You know, what I should have done before this podcast, Dave, is go and have a look at the results on the first day of the season 4 years ago, right after the World Cup in Brazil. I've just got a sneaking feeling that after World Cup, the opening day of the season springs is a few shock results because teams aren't really cherry ripe. They're a little bit undercooked. And if Liverpool are undercooked here, West Ham are going to do damage to a lot of big teams this season. And you won't be getting 11-1 for them in many, many times. I think that's a really good bet.
Those signings, by the way, West Ham have made good signings. Andre Yarmolenko in particular, he could be a very good signing. 15-4 he is to score any time. And Felipe Anderson's another one at West Ham this season. I mentioned Jack Wilshere. He's found a new Premier League home in East London. And Marko Arnautovic, you mentioned him briefly there, Derek, as well. He looked fantastic leading the line at times. And they've got Manuel Pellegrini at the helm, a Premier League title winner as well, West Ham. So they could be in for a good season. And you're chancing them here at 11-1, Derek?
Well, I remember when they went, a long, long time ago, they went to Man United in the FA Cup match in the days of Paolo, I've forgotten his name. The Italian side who played for West Ham, Paolo.
Di Canio.
Paolo Di Canio. Yeah, I've forgotten his name there for a second. And they were 10-1, and everyone said, what a big price that is, you know. But now they're 11-1 to win it. Man United were probably a big team then. Liverpool aren't quite that yet. I think it's too big. And they're a good team, West Ham. They've got some good signings and a good manager. It's an insult to them.
You know what I really fancy there? I fancy Liverpool to win and both teams to score in the match. You look at those opening weekend fixtures under Jurgen Klopp, 13 goals in those games. They beat Arsenal 4-3 back in 2016-17. 3-3 draw at Watford last campaign as well. I think there'll definitely be goals in this game. Both very attacking sides as well. So I'd be looking... Well, over 2.5 goals is 4-9, which tells you all you need to know. Over 3.5 is available at 6-5. But that Liverpool to win the game and both teams to score, I think that's a good bet at 17-10. Let's talk about the feature fixture this weekend, Derek. Arsenal versus Manchester City, which is a 4 p.m. kick off on Sunday. The Gunners 11-4 to win the game. The draw 27-10 with Manchester City in the betting at 10-11. Arsenal to win and three or more goals in the game was 100-30. That's been enhanced to 4-1. If you fancy City to win both halves in this match, 9-2 out to 11-2. And I think the most maybe attractive enhanced odds offer, love the look of this, Sergio Aguero to score and Manchester City to win was 15-8. That's been enhanced to 2-1. We've talked a lot on this podcast, Derek, so far about the transfer market. City haven't made major moves in the transfer market, but they don't need to. They've kept that entire squad from last season and they've just added to it with one key signing in Riyad Mahrez.
Yeah. Well, when you win the title by what 20 points or something, 19 points, I don't suppose you have to. You have to do too much to ensure another title triumph. But you do think, well, they fell short in Europe, didn't they? You know, have they done enough there? You know, to challenge for the Champions League? Should Guardiola would know. Haven't won it often enough, and he seems happy enough with what he's done. And Mahrez is, yeah, a tremendous signing, tremendous player. And I can't wait to see where he fits in that City team. Mm. You know exactly what you're going to get from City in this match. I've got absolutely no idea what to expect from Arsenal. From week to week, went under Arsene Wenger. Now they've got a new manager, a totally different approach to Wenger's approach. The signings don't set the pulse racing, the signings he's made. But there are players there who didn't quite hit the heights that was expected of them last season, and you'd expect more from them this time around. So they might look like new signings. What I'm trying to say is I'm trying to find a way to back Arsenal at 11-4 here, given that as bad as they were last term, their home record was almost as good as City's. 15 wins, 2 draws from 19 matches. That's quite incredible for a team as ordinary as Arsenal were last term. So they're doing something right at the Emirates. It's just 11-4. They're a team that can, you know, they're a team that can play big opposition and beat them. I know that under Wenger, towards the end of his reign, their record against the big teams wasn't great. They're going to get a different tune under this manager.
And do you know what, Derek? Out of all the Premier League teams we've seen in pre-season, this Arsenal team have looked the best. I know pre-season doesn't often translate into actually the Premier League campaign, but Alexandre Lacazette's looked a different player. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang, he was firing all cylinders at the end of last season. I think he got 10 in his last 12 games or 12 in his last 10, something like that. And they've added defensive grit as well. Socratis Papastathopoulos, I think I've got there, Derek, I think I've got that. And Stefan Lichtsteiner give them more grit. And I'm very interested to see how they do this Arsenal side.
Yeah. Well, that's what they needed, a bit more defensive grit. They've got a defensive midfielder as well, Torreira. And, you know, they're going to be a little bit tighter to break down, a bit harder to break down, rather, which is what they've needed. And, you know, you wonder why Wenger couldn't spot that for the last 16 seasons he was there. This will be a different Arsenal. Whether it's enough to cope with City, I don't know. Or maybe they're meeting City at the right time because a lot of their players were involved in the World Cup, more so than, and I think they've been debilitated by World Cup duty more than Arsenal have.
Yeah,
it's a good time. They could catch City cold here. And 11-4, did you say, Arsenal at home? It's a big price, isn't it? It is a big price.
It is, but then you could look at the flip side of that and think you might not get close to even money on City against anyone else this season, really. I mean,
yeah,
you can look at it from both points of view from a betting perspective, I think, here.
Yeah, well, City won 16 of 19 matches away from home, which is quite incredible, isn't it? Last season, 45 goals scored in those games.
You're tempted. You're tempted by
one. It's it. Yeah. I just don't know what I'm going to expect from Arsenal. So really, what I'm trying to say is, if they come out of the traps flying, and they might be under this manager. This is no mug. This manager. He won 3 Europa Leagues with Seville. He'll have a different mindset than Wenger, and I've got a feeling that you won't see these kind of prices often about Arsenal.
Okay, Arsenal the better to 11-4 for Derek. Nap selection then, Derek, just the double this week with just you and I on the podcast. Do you want to lead off?
I think, you know what, I'm going to go for Leicester to beat Man United on the Friday night game.
Are you really 6-1? I'm going to put up that bet that I mentioned on the podcast. Liverpool to win and both teams to score at 17-10 against the Hammers. That double, by the way, plays just under 18-1. So Leicester at 6-1 to beat United, and Liverpool to win and both teams to score against the Hammers, which is 17-10. Just under 18-1, that double. Myself and Derek back in a couple of moments' time. We'll have Steve Bates from the Sunday People on the podcast, where we'll spin through some of the betting markets, anti-post betting markets ahead of this Premier League season. So that's coming next.
Now at William Hill, you can get your bet onto the website for featured matches. If there's a bet you fancy that's not on the app, just tweet with the hashtag #YourOdds to @WilliamHill, and the traders will try to price it up. Hashtag #YourOdds from William Hill.
As promised, right now it's a delight to welcome our FWA guest onto the podcast. It is Steve Bates from the Sunday People, the chief football writer. First of all, good morning to you, Steve.
Morning. How are you doing, Dave?
I'm very well. How are you? Are you looking forward to the start of the Premier League?
Well, I am indeed, yeah. It doesn't seem like we've had a break from football, really. I was at the World Cup in Russia for almost 5 weeks, so... It seems to be the season that never ends, but looking forward to it, especially obviously deadline day today. All kinds of surprise names keep popping up, which is going to make an interesting start to the season if some of those come off.
I saw that you've written about Mourinho in your column for the Mirror this morning. I always wonder if his, I mentioned this to Derek earlier, if his attitude is a facade when he's talking to the media and he's different behind the scenes. What's your reading of it?
Well, listen, my information is that around the training ground and behind the scenes with his players, he's very upbeat and, cracking jokes and everything. Obviously, he has a public persona which is a lot different to the one that perhaps the players and those in the know see at Carrington, the club's training ground. But, of course, this was the same with Sir Alex Ferguson in his time. He always had a private face and a media face, usually, which is very grumpy. So Mourinho's sort of following that up in good Manchester United tradition.
As far as the title is concerned, the title betting here with William Hill: Manchester City 4-6 to retain their crown, Liverpool 4-1, Manchester United 7-1, Chelsea are 14s, Spurs are 14s, 22-1 Arsenal, and 150-1 Bar. And when I was setting up this piece with you, Steve, I said, should we just scrap the season and give the title to City? Because they won it by 19 points last season. They got to that 100-point total. They scored 106 goals. And they've kept all their players and added Riyad Mahrez as well.
Yeah, and when you see the way they kind of cuffed Chelsea at Wembley on Sunday in the Community Shield, it just shows you really that it's business as usual. Nothing's changed. People might say, well, they haven't done an awful lot of transfer business, but did they need to? I don't think they did. I mean, their team last year was exceptional. The team that they played against Chelsea at Wembley was good enough to beat Chelsea, and it was nowhere near the kind of full-strength team that Pep Guardiola will want to put out once the season starts for proper.
And do you think Liverpool, according to the betting, are the main dangers to Manchester City? They've recruited well, they've spent lots of money. You would expect, I suppose, Liverpool to edge closer to City. It's just whether or not they can bridge that gap.
Absolutely. I think under normal circumstances, probably in different seasons gone by, you'd have Liverpool as favourites to win the title this season. I saw them in Dublin at the weekend against Napoli. They won 5-0 there and looked absolutely awesome, really confident, oozing power and attacking venom. Defence looks sound, and obviously they've got the goalkeeper they wanted in Alisson now, who will, I'm sure, make a big impact in that department. So yeah, Liverpool for me would be Manchester City's main rivals. Probably just a shame for them that they've managed to get themselves a title looking squad just at a time when the Premier League's been dominated by a team who were so far ahead of everybody else. It's not true.
And we mentioned Manchester United a few moments ago. Maybe not all doom and gloom behind the scenes. That's the way it's being portrayed in the media, definitely, at the moment, because Mourinho is actually second favourite in the betting. I mentioned this to Derek earlier, to be the first manager to leave his club. And they've not managed to pick up many players in the transfer window yet. There might be a couple of deals go through perhaps this afternoon, but they've signed Fred. He's their only key signing, real signing of any note, Steve.
Yeah, he is. And You know, I think people always expect Manchester United to do big business and a lot of business as well. They haven't done this time. I mean, I was looking at a list of clubs who have outspent them so far in the Premier League this summer, and Wolves are one of those clubs who have just been promoted from the Championship. So that tells you what kind of a transfer window Manchester United have had, and probably why Jose Mourinho's got his grumpy face on. But let's not forget, you know, United did sign Alexis Sanchez in January, and at that point, Mourinho did say that he wouldn't be looking for any more attacking targets this summer, but quite clearly he's not managed to recruit the so far anyway. Obviously, there's 5 hours left of that transfer window today, but he's not managed to recruit the defender he wanted. But I'm seeing that they're being linked with Diego Godin from Atletico Madrid at the moment, so that would really be a coup if they managed to pull that one off at this late stage.
So you're taking City to win the title, Liverpool to finish second. We'll go through the top four betting very shortly. So City to win it and Liverpool to chase them home?
Yeah, second for me, Liverpool. Third, Man United. Fourth, Arsenal. That'll be the way I see the top four shaping up.
OK, Derek, your thoughts on the outright betting? City at a 4-6, and some people might just think that's a worthwhile investment, 60 on to win 40 for the season or whatever denominations you're playing in, really. But City 4-6 to win the title.
That's a fair price, considering they won it 19 points last term. You know, Man United, their big challenges last term haven't strengthened than City have with Mahrez. That's a signing you'd imagine than Fred. Yeah, fair price, but the worst bet of the last decade, apart from my last 1700, is to back the champions to defend the title. They never do it. They haven't done it in the last decade. And, you know, so many examples of champions who inexplicably wobble the following season. You can't see City doing that, but you couldn't see Chelsea doing that or United doing that. So, you know, I wouldn't say it's a mortgage job material, City at 4-6. You'd be better off really looking in the without Manchester City market, wouldn't you, to win the title? Liverpool are favourites there at 5-4. The favourites because they've made all the summer moves for big name players. But a lot of these big name players, most people haven't seen play. To be honest, we don't know yet. You know how good a signing they're going to be. And I find it inexplicable. I didn't know without Manchester City market, Liverpool are 5-4 or 6-5, I think they are, and Tottenham are 5-1. Mm-hmm. Tottenham finished above Liverpool last term. They didn't play a home game last season, Tottenham. They'll be moving into their new stadium this time around in September. They're finishing the top three seasons running. No other team's done that. I don't understand the difference in prices. It's all based on Liverpool signings and maybe the goalkeeper as well. They have to get a new goalie. Liverpool are like the talking horse of the winter. You know, when it's a good two-year-old that wins the US or whatever at the end of the season, the two-year-old season, and trains fantastically well before the three-year-old season, and then you never see him again. I wouldn't be back in Liverpool at those kind of places. I think Tottenham are 5-1 to win the title without City is the value bet.
And give us your top four then, Derek, as well.
City, Tottenham, Liverpool, Man United.
City are 1-16, by the way, to finish in the top four. Liverpool 1-6, United 4-11, and Spurs are in the betting at 4-5. So Derek going City, Spurs, Liverpool, United in that order. And just to recap, your top four, Steve?
Yeah, mine was Man City, Liverpool, Man United and Arsenal.
Very good. And one team we've not spoken about at all on this podcast, Steve, is Chelsea. They finished fifth last season. Antonio Conte's relationship obviously soured with Roman Abramovich, and they brought in Maurizio Sarri now as well. He's not got any titles next to his name. And they've lost Thibaut Courtois, but they've brought in Kepa as his replacement, and Jorginho has signed for Chelsea. How do you think they'll perform this season?
Well, you know, on the face of it, everybody was very upbeat about the way Chelsea were going to perform this season. And then we saw City, or sort of a kind of a weaker City side, should you say, that probably won't figure too often in the Premier League, take them to pieces at Wembley. So, you know, they got a new keeper. I always remember when David De Gea came to Manchester United as a young sort of promising keeper with a lot of potential, and he had a real struggle for a couple of years. I don't know much about this Kepa, to be honest, but, you know, Chelsea certainly invested a lot of money in him. We know plenty, of course, about Jorginho. He's going to be central to the way that they play. But for me, Chelsea really haven't sort of replaced you know, some of the players they lost. Diego Costa, for instance, was a huge loss in my book. And, of course, we'll have to see how focused Eden Hazard is. Having earlier in the summer obviously said that, you know, he would like a move away from Chelsea. So I still think there's work to do for Sarri at Chelsea, and maybe with a new keeper in goal who's got no real experience, big-time experience, and certainly not in the Premier League. You know, we'll have to wait and see how that develops.
Surprise package then, folks. We've been through the top four and the outright betting for the Premier League. Who's going to surprise a few teams this season? Derek, we'll start with you.
I think West Ham will. They made new signings, proper new signings as well. Players you'd imagine would hit the ground running. And I think, you know, I mentioned earlier on, Dave, we were talking about, I think they might well surprise Liverpool in their opening game at the weekend. I think they'll do an awful lot better than they did last season, which wouldn't be that hard, to be honest. But yeah, West Ham, I'll be. I think you'll get in the early weeks of the season by backing them in individual matches. You'll be stealing a march on the bookies, I think.
Okay, West Ham is Derek's surprise package. If you fancy them to finish in the top half, I think that will be around about even money. Yeah, 5-6 West Ham to finish in the top four, top half. And if you're feeling slightly more adventurous, you could maybe have a look at the Hammers to finish in the top six. We've got betting available on that here with William Hill as well. West Ham to finish inside the top six this season is a big price at 9-1. Steve, what about you?
Well, I agree with Derek there. I think that West Ham have made some astute signings. Pellegrini, of course, is a manager who's won the Premier League before, so I think he knows what it's all about. There won't be any surprises there for him. So they could do well. As Derek says, it wouldn't be hard for them to do better than they have done in the last couple of years. But they've got some good players. Fulham are going to be interesting to watch, I think. They've got a manager there that likes to play good football. They did that in the Championship. He's made a couple of decent signings. Probably their best bit of business was keeping Ryan Sessegnon. So, you know, that's going to be good for them. Wolves, of course, have made a splash in the transfer market. As I've mentioned before, they spent more money to this point than Manchester United. But, you know, Everton are sort of making steady progress in the transfer market this summer. They've obviously signed Richarlison from Watford, who's a highly, highly rated striker. I like him a lot. He just needs to be focused in a better team, and I think Everton will probably do that. But they've also signed, you know, Bernard, I think, is the winger from Shakhtar Donetsk, another Brazilian, is going to Everton. So I think it's brighter days ahead for Everton. They've been in Liverpool's shadow the last couple of seasons, but you know, they may surprise a few people and have a decent season this time.
They're 5-1, by the way, Everton to break into the top six this season in the Premier League. And just to put you on the spot here, because this isn't something I mentioned via text or email when setting up this podcast, but there's one team that I really like in the relegation market. I know you're kind of guessing at this stage in terms of Premier League relegation, but I can't understand why Southampton are as big as 7-1. To be relegated from the Premier League. Only just survived last season. They've bought no one of any note. Charlie Austin, I think, was their top scorer last season. He got 7 goals in that campaign for Southampton. I'm not a massive Mark Hughes fan either, if truth be told. And two of their leading lights, as far as I'm concerned, have left. Dusan Tadic has gone, and Sofiane Boufal's out on loan at Celta Vigo as well. I'm not sure why they're so far down the betting in terms of the relegation market. 7-1 Southampton are to go down. Steve, I think that's a good bet.
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, you know, I was asked to do my predictions for the Mirror last week, and I put Southampton as 18th position, one of the three teams that are going to go down, along with Huddersfield and Cardiff. They were my choices. I think Southampton had a bit of a narrow escape last season, didn't they?
Yeah.
Mark Hughes is not, you know, as a manager, he's not everybody's cup of tea. He sort of, you know, Stoke went down and he was there again last season, wasn't he, earlier on? So, I can see why a few people are pointing the finger at Southampton as potential candidates to go down. Obviously, in January, they sold Virgil van Dijk for $75 million to Liverpool. So they seem to be a selling club, and eventually that kind of tactic catches up with you.
What do you reckon, Derek?
Well, I can't. They're actually almost the same price as West Ham to go down.
Yeah.
I mean, which indicates that in the match betting market, they'd be even, well, 5-6 each to finish. You know, West Ham would be 5-6 or even money to finish above Southampton, which would be the bet of all time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a big price. Whichever way you look at it, it's a big price. They weren't in my three, but I certainly would understand anyone backing them. I think Huddersfield are nailed on to go down. Can't understand how they stayed up last season. Mm. Shocking side. Cardiff will go down. They haven't got them back, the personnel and the manager ain't the right man. And I'm going to go for Watford as well. About time they went down. It would be everybody a favour if they do go down. Just better with Watford in the top four.
Cardiff are 4-6, Huddersfield 6-5, Watford are 2-1 in the relegation market. Here with William Hill. Steve, thank you for your company.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you, Derek.
Pleasure.
And we're going to finish off this podcast with a look at the Football League in the company of Pete Farries, Gav Pushlowski and Al Ross.
Hi, my name's Pete Farries and the pressure is on after we landed our opening Knapp treble last weekend. I'm going to go with Ipswich, draw no bet at 11-10 for my pick before we get to Gav and we get to Al. Rotherham were obliterated away at Brentford on the opening day, losing 5-1, scoring very late indeed. And while Ipswich were a side who did get a draw against newly promoted Blackburn, again only just, they did look decent at times. They've signed Nolan Unciala this week, and for me, they're a side who will be upper mid-table, but probably no better. It's going to be a tough season for Rotherham, I think, so therefore, looking at the value here, draw no bet at 11-10 is really nice. I don't mind the outright at 19-10, I have to say, but no, 11-10 will do me very nicely indeed. So that's the Championship. Let's head off to Gav Pushlowski and his thoughts on League One.
My bet this weekend in League One is Gillingham at 13-8, which is too big, it appears, at home to a Burton Albion side who are dreadful at the moment. Before the season began, they played 6 friendlies. They lost 5 of them, and in those 6 friendlies, they conceded 20 goals. They lost to the likes of Michelova Sports. Yes, OK, they lost to Cardiff and Aston Villa. They also lost to Alfreton and lost to Solihull Moors. And then this season started with a 2-1 defeat at home to Rochdale. Burton Albion, at the moment, their confidence and morale has to be absolutely rock bottom, and they've got a long trip away to Gillingham, a Gillingham side who started this season, played 1, won 1, 3 points. They won away Accrington, and it's their first game of the season at the Priest Field, a tough place to go, so I'm all over Gillingham at 13-8 is my nap to beat Burton Albion. Looking at League 2, here's Al Ross.
If you want an Acca price, take an Exeter side who should be pushing for promotion this season to beat a Morecambe side who I think will finish bottom. And yes, I was saying that before they got dropped 6-0 last week. Exeter 5-4. But me, I'm pushing the betting boat out this week by picking Swindon at 16-5. Now, aside from Luke Norris, the core of that side is still together. They brought in League One stalwarts Jermaine McGlashan and Jack McCourt, among others, to strengthen. Last week's 3-2 win over Macclesfield, 2-0 down, winning it 3-2 with goals in the 96th and 98th minutes. That's a huge boost. They're at Lincoln. Lincoln were great last season, and they've brought in Barnett marksman John Akindi. But I think they've lost too much from the rest of their squad to put up the same fight this term. Last week's 1-0 win at Northampton came despite Northampton playing them off the park. 15 shots to 4, 8 shots on target to 2. Northampton hit the woodwork twice. They were wasteful. I'm guessing Swindon won't be. It's not a sure thing, but it is highly possible, and a whopping 16-5.
So that is it for this edition of the Punt Podcast. I do hope you've enjoyed it. Good luck with all your bets on the opening day of the Premier League on Friday, and of course over the weekend on Saturday and Sunday as well. Thank you to Steve Bates, the FWA guest from the Sunday People, who joined us to discuss the betting markets ahead of this Premier League season. Derek McGovern in fine form as usual, and let's hope for more of the same as far as Pete Farries, Al Ross and Gav Pushlowski are concerned. If you want to check out all the betting on the William Hill website, do go to sports.williamhill.com and check out all the odds ahead of the Premier League this weekend. Thank you for listening to the podcast, and make sure you're back with us next week.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.